Warning, this broadcast of Ohio is on Fire features entertainment and honesty of an intense nature. The opinions and views that are expressed on this episode do not reflect the views of WWSU 106.9 FM or any of its affiliates.
Do you have any matches? Try setting it on fire.
Fire, 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 fire.
Break this rope.
Saving the innocent from corporate radio. This is the show where Ohio froze down. Ohio is on fire. I am Daniel Diesel. For this night only, you can call me the Super Diesel. Because tonight we got a special guest that's going to come on the show in just a little bit. He is the creator of Gem City Comic Con and a really cool guy. I've had a chance to work with him for the last 4 years. And he's going to be on the show, my show, for the first time ever. Jesse Noble. He'll be calling from his lovely home tonight, later on the show. Yes, I was the former president of the group called the Comic Book League here at Wright State University. Now, I have since passed on to new leadership as my term came to an end in the last semester. So I have passed my super torch on to new wonderful people. I know we had a conversation this past September about what was the best comic books of all time. Because you go to these stores in the area, and I'll give a shout out to some area stores that we do have that's based in comic books. We got Bell Book and Beyond, that's over in Fairborn, the other side of Fairborn, like the other part of town from where the school is located. We also have Game Haven, which is literally 3 minutes away. If you take Colonel Glenn Highway and you drive 3 minutes, you'll get there. And then we got a lot of good ones. We got the Epic Game. We got Epic Game Room over in Cedarville, Ohio, and then we got Half Brook Price. That's also here in Fairborn. It's across the street from the Fairfield Commons Mall. So those are a few that I can think of. But do a Google search. You can find a bunch of comic book stores in your area. You can buy these great books there or buy them online. But we got to thinking. For those that are new, or those that just really want to know what the greatest comic book of all time is, what's the really good ones that I should really spend my money on? And I got to thinking, we should make a list. So back in September, me and the organization, we debated on this. We made a list, and it's for 2017, and there can always be new lists in the future. Someone shared this part of this list tonight, because we did a top 50 list. But for the sake of this show, since I don't have time to do all 50 of them, I'm going to do the top 10. And I have a little description on each of the top 10 that we came up with for best comic books ever. Best comic books or graphic novels. So I'm going to talk about 10 that we highly recommend. And of course, you can debate on whether these are the 10 greatest comic books / graphic novels of all time. So number 10 on our list that we made was a book called Blankets. It was written by Greg Thompson back in 2003. It's Thompson's childhood in the evangelical Christian family, his first love, and his early adulthood. So basically, it's the life of Greg Thompson. And it's number 10 on our list. He really conveys his feelings. He's really good at sharing his story. You kind of live the life with him as you read this book. So that's a good job on his part of doing that. It's number 10 on our list. Number 9 on this list is Lone Wolf and Cub. It was created by Kazuo Koike, made in 1970. It's a story of Ogama Eiti and the Shogun's executioner who uses a Dontaku battle sword. Disgraced by false accusations from the Yagyu clan, he is forced to take the path of the assassin. So in other words, instead of going down the regular path that most warriors of Japan go down, he goes it alone. He he kind of goes rogue, as they say. And people don't know what his true intentions are. So that's what that story is all about. Number 8 on our list is called From Hell. It was written by Alan Moore. Came out in 1989. It's set during the Whitechapel murders of the late Victorian era. The novel speculates upon the identity and motives of Jack the Ripper. So it's kind of like a mystery book of sorts. But really good art. The artwork is very graphic. If you're into that stuff, then read this book, From Hell. And then number 7 is Ghost World by Daniel Clowes. Came out in 1997. It's an unnamed suburban town filled with shopping malls, fast food restaurants, and urban sprawl. The town plays a key part in the narrative as it is constantly mocked and criticized by the two protagonists and antagonists of the story, Annette and Rebecca. So they kind of play, I like to call it the tweener roles. Like, you don't know if they're good or bad. You don't know what their intentions are. So it's really up to you, kind of. But they're the stars of Ghost World. And number 6 on this list is one of my favorite books, personally. It is Marvel Civil War. And that's the book series, not the movie, which I thought was an abomination to the actual book. That's just my opinion. You can debate me on it if you call me. I'm free to debate you. But in this book of Marvel Civil War, people that have mutants and supernatural humans that have superpowers, they have to register with the government. A new law passed where they have to register with the American government in order to continue to fight crime using their superpowers. If they do not register with the government, then they will be a fugitive of the law. And that's divisive to... there's one side that's against this law, and then the other side, they are for it. They're trying to... They think that it's good for the history of the country, for the future of the country. So they register, but they work closely with the government, so their role really changes a lot. And basically you got heroes and villains. They're actually teaming up on either side. Those that you wouldn't think would ever team up, they do. And it's very mind-blowing. When this book came out in 2007, it was very cutting-edge, and it really makes you think, whose side are you on? It's my favorite book. It was made by Mark Miller, so he was the writer of this book. Number 5 is Fun Home, a Family Tragic Comedy. Now, this book was made by Alison Bechdel. It came out in 2006. Fun Home has several themes recurring throughout the book. The biggest theme, arguably, is sexual orientation. Bechdel tells the readers of her journey of discovering her own sexuality through books. So she struggles between being a homosexual and a heterosexual. So once again, it's kind of like a big biography through comic books. But that's Funhouse, and it's some of the favorite among the gay community. It's really highly regarded from what I heard. We put number 5 on this list because this is a good written story. Number 4 on this list is Daredevil, Born Again, made by Frank Miller. It's the return of Daredevil after years of hiatus. This came out in 1986. Highly regarded book by those that have read it. Number 3, X-Men Days of Futures Past, made by Chris Claremont, came out in 1981. The storyline alternates between the present day of 1980 and the future year of 2013. And I can tell you, 2013, being that I've lived it, and all of you have lived it, we can vouch that 2013 is not that futuristic. There's no flying cars. You can't cook a whole bucket of fried chicken in less than a minute. You can't shoot lasers from your toaster. None of that is possible in 2013. But oh well, but this book says otherwise. In the future, Sentinels rule by dystopian United States, and mutants are hunted in place in internment camps. So I can also tell you that mutants are not in internment camps. That's still no, internment camps are still considered a no-no in most parts of this country. Maybe some circles, but I don't care about those guys. They're sickos. There are some sickos that care about that, that want that, but not me, not Daniel D. So let's move on. But you can get that book at Amazon.com or go to your local store and find it. It's one of the greatest books ever written. Now, we're at the top 2 now. I think these 2 books we're going to talk about are really good. Number 2 is Mouse, made by Art Spiegelman. Came out in 1986. Spiegelman, interviewing his father about his experiences as a Polish Jew and Holocaust survivor. Now, mice, and other animals, they act as human beings within the story. So the Nazi characters are one animal, and then the innocent victims, they are another animal. I guess the reason why I think they did this, it's, I guess, people that love animals, I guess this gives it a cozy alternative to learning about what is otherwise a terrible history that the world has to live with. When it happened, it was a terrible moment in our world's history. So I guess this is a way to soften the blow. It's a really good story. Kind of another bibliography, if you will, because this is a real story. It's told for the eyes of Art Spiegelman's father. Really good story. Really touching and heartbreaking as well. But that is Mouse. Now, number one, according to our list, and this is just a big opinion, number one greatest comic book / graphic novel of all time is Batman, The Killing Joke. And this was written by Alan Moore. Came out in 1989. Of course, Alan Moore, he was one of the great comic book writers of all time. He actually had a lot of entries on this list. We don't have time to get to all of those. Ohio is on fire. I'm Daniel Diesel. It is now time for everyone's favorite segment. Yes, since we're all about comic books for tonight, we're going to do this comic book style, but this segment is none other than OMVP. And that stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. Ooh, ah. You know what? To celebrate this special occasion of OMVP, at the Comic League, we have our own theme song. We've had it for the last 4.5 years, and I'm going to play it now to celebrate OMVP. So for the few of you at home that know what I'm talking about, enjoy. But here it is. Yeah. Dude, this is Kev McLeo's Glee Club Polka. That's the name of this track. Yeah, the name of that track was Kevin McLeo's Glee Club Polka. So that's the name of it. That's our theme song at the Comic Book League. So that song helped us introduce MVP for tonight. Now, with MVP, it's an award that goes to someone from the state of Ohio or a group of people from the state of Ohio that did something very interesting and made people feel good about themselves. Ooh, ah. So there's always a backstory that goes along with MVP. So here's the article. It is at fox8.com/2018. I guess the best way to put in this title, Hidden Gems in the CLE, - There's a Reason Carol and John's Comic Book Shop is on Top. And I'm going to go ahead and play this video that talks about the comic book shop over in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'll read some of the article. You'll find your fave right here. This is what the video says. Carol and John's Comic Book Shop. All right, I don't think they're gonna speak in this video, so. All right, I'm gonna stop it there. That's plenty for that video. All right, down in Cleveland, Ohio, if you are a Clevelander, by now you know our city has been soaring up the hot list for the past few years. We've got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Flats East Bank, Great Lakes Science Center, in the West Side Market, to name a few. But what about those unique spots that not many people know about? We're talking about the hidden gems in the CLE. And thanks to our friends at Destination Cleveland, we're showing you one of the Northeast Ohio's coolest places. You are a fan of comic books? What's your favorite? Chances are Carol and John's Comic Book Shop has its own stock. That's because they have so many more than set them apart from bigger chains. John Dudas and his mother Carol, Carol Chazarin, opened the store 27 years ago in Cam's Plaza or Lorraine Avenue in Cleveland. Dudas says fresh inventory and a knowledgeable, well-rounded staff is what keeps a store at the top of its business. One of the first things that grabs your attention when you walk in, besides the eye-popping color on the walls and murals above the shelves, is a pristine display of the weekly comics. The weekly comics, the store gets a huge drop-off at the start of the week, then rolls out the new comics every Wednesday. But it's not just about the comics. Hardback graphic novels, books from Cleveland authors, or even tourism guides to our city line the shelves. Don't count the action figures, memorabilia, and small toys. There's even a kids section. And I'll read this part here, as it's pretty, I thought it was a long article. It turns out it's a bunch of ads. Our tour of the store falls right before both Wizard and Winston World, running concurrently from March 2nd to the 4th. You may already know that Wizard World is Cleveland's Comic-Con, featuring celebrities, comics, video gaming, and more. But Winston World is dedicated to the store's resident cat, properly named Winston, featuring big-time sales and a Wizard World ticket giveaway. For that and so much more about Carol and John's comic book shop, click the link at fox8.com. So, this is really cool. It sounds like this is a place that's been around for a while. If you are a comic book fan that lives in Cleveland, Ohio, then really the place to be is Carol and John's comic book shop. And the two names that were mentioned, John Dudas and his mother, Carol, they opened it 27 years ago. So you don't hear a lot of mothers and sons opening stores together. But these guys did, and that's really cool. And I hope it goes for another 27 years. More than likely, I believe John Dudas will take over once Carol Kazarian dies. And it'll be John Dudas and his family. So it's a family-owned business. And that's really cool. That's a really cool factoid about our comic book community in Ohio. So I salute you, John and Carol. You two, for this episode, are O-M-V-P, and that stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. Ooh-ah. So that's O-M-V-P. Started reading comic books, did it inspire you to be a writer, or did it get you to like doodle like while you were in class or anything like that?
Oh yeah, I was I come from a family that has some artistic ability. My father was an artist and later on a teacher, but so I had that going on anyway, but I definitely drew more webbing in grade school and high school. I definitely was a webbing doodler.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, I never knew that about you. And I didn't know your father was an artist as well, so it runs in a family. That's very cool to learn. Who taught you the value of comic book collections? Because you have a big collection. I was wondering, when did you get the idea that it was good to have a comic book collection?
It just sort of, like I said, I sort of inherited a large run of Spider-Man comics.
Yeah.
And in high school, you know, I read them and, you know, got more into just comics in general. And that's about the time I came across The Overstreet Guide, which is a book that values books by, you know, comics by grade. And I was able to piece together that, you know, my collection's worth about $800, you know.
Excellent.
And then I started buying them a little bit and just sort of on the peripheral. I'm never really investing. I think I've bought maybe one investment kind of book back then, and I still have it today.
All right. How many books do you think you own?
Right now, it's funny you should ask, because I literally, before, like this week, I bought a huge collection of about 90,000 comic books, and they're stacked up in my garage right now. So
wow.
I own in excess of probably 500,000 that are in the house right now.
Man.
Yeah.
Half a million. Man, I wouldn't know what to do with half a million comic books, so I'm impressed. Well,
I can tell you, you can sell them. That's what you can do.
Well,
sell them.
Well, better you than me on that, but that's really amazing. But I want to know, what's of all the books you've ever read, what's your favorite comic book or graphic novel, and why is that?
Well, there's different levels of what my favorite one is. If there's a book that I was always going to return to, it would always be Spider-Man or Batman. I like Batman real well. That's something that I always return to. And then I'm a little bit of a genre frog. I'll hop from, a epic space story to something really intimate and tender, or just back and forth. And, and I read, manga too. So if it's graphic, and I also read lots and lots of fiction. But if there was one style of comic book that I really like, is the darker, noir comics. And crime, true crime comics, and detective stories. I love detective stories.
Oh, that's really, I like some of them as well. Now, you mentioned the Batman. Do you like Batman's A Killing Joke?
Oh, yeah. That is one of those books that sticks out in the genre. It crosses, it crosses a lot of lines. People that only read literature, they understand, or they like The Killing Joke. It's just one of those books that non-comic book people take a liking to.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I agree with that. And the Comic League agrees as well, because over the last several years, we've always came to the conclusion that the Batman's A Killing Joke is one of the greatest books ever made. So it's great to hear that you kind of vouch it. It's one of the greatest. So, it's really good. I definitely agree with that. Now, about you run Gem City Comic Con. It's a nice little convention out of Dayton, Ohio. And there's a bunch of them out there. I was wondering, is there any Comic Cons besides the one that you run? Is there any ones out there that you're really impressed with?
Oh, yeah. There's actually, if you're in Ohio and you like comics and you like comic conventions, you're in a fantastic spot of the country. We have a ton of conventions.
Okay.
And it's really great. But countrywide, there are a few that I like more than us. I like them all, but there are some that I like more.
Yeah.
I'm always going to aim for shows that are comic-centered, that have comic book guests and stuff like that. A lot of these things that are branded as Comic-Con, there'll be lots of stars and wrestlers and
main
personalities, which is cool. I like that, too. But if I'm there to spend money or been, because I love comics, I like going to shows that doesn't have any of that peripheral stuff. It's just about the art and the story.
Yes.
In that regard, Three Rivers Comic-Con in Pittsburgh, I like that one real well.
Okay.
Of course, the Baltimore Comic-Con is one that I really like. And then, of course, Heroes Aren't Hard to Find Comic-Con in Charlotte, North Carolina. Those are probably the peaks. But then, around Ohio, there's Jim and Dan's, which actually takes place at the home of the former Gem City at the student union there on campus.
Yes.
And then there's the Cincinnati Expo, which is a lot of fun. And then there's a plethora of them up north. Great Lakes and Lake Effect Comic-Con in Mentor, Ohio. All one-day shows. And if you're in down southern Ohio, southeastern Ohio, there's a great show in Huntington, West Virginia. It's just across the border there, called Tricon.
Okay.
That's a fantastic show, too. I mean, there's no shortage of shows.
Absolutely. Well, those are great. Those are ones that you've mentioned. I guess you prefer the ones that are just about the artist as opposed to all these celebrities. So that's good to hear that Pacific list from you, because if I ever get a chance to travel, I might check out some of those, because I do like the ones where you can focus on the art, which is what Gem City Comic Con is all about, the one that you run. So absolutely. I agree. Now, I want to ask you, San Diego International, that's one of the biggest Comic Cons in the world. Have you ever been there?
It is the biggest in the world. Actually, maybe New York and them, they flip-flop and stuff, but in terms of just sheer bigness, San Diego, it's by far the largest. I have never been there. And I have no desire to go.
I want to follow up with that. Do you think conventions can be way too big, such as a San Diego International Comic Con? Do you think they can get way too big and dilute the original purpose of a comic book convention?
Well, sure. San Diego, it has morphed from a, you know, a smaller comic book convention, you know, on the seaside into something that is larger. It's where TV shows, it's sort of like a nexus of all fandom, where it's TV shows and comics and books and video games. It's sort of like the nexus of everything that's happening in popular culture.
Yeah,
it's and a that's lot. What it is, has become. And if that wasn't what people wanted, then they wouldn't go and they wouldn't be that big. But yeah, I think I wouldn't say that they're too big. I would think that they are just filling that need. There's got to be something somewhere for people like that all to get together. For that sort of industry. Car shows happen too, but it's not that big.
All right, absolutely. Now, I want to go ahead and get to the portion where we're talking about Gem City Comic Con, as that's coming up soon. For those that don't know, when and where was the first ever Gem City Comic Con?
The first one was in 2006.
2000, okay.
2006 at the Wright State Student Union in the multipurpose room in the Student Union.
Yeah, I know where that's at.
Yep, that's where the first one was.
Okay. Now, I was going to ask, that was the first one. Now, since you've done that, it's grown. It took time, but it's grown to something really special. It grows every year. For anyone that wants to start their own convention one day, whether it's comic books or any other theme, what would be a good first effective step that one could take to start their own convention?
I've had this conversation a lot with different people over the years, and some of them have gone on to create really great shows. The one I'm thinking of is Andrew Slatterfield at Cincinnati Expo. We had this exact conversation at one point, and
yes.
The key, the absolute key, and is location. I have real specific location rules where I put on a show, and Gem City is not the only show that I have. I do the Champion City Comic Con in
yes.
Springfield. And a new show that we're starting up in Michigan, actually, called The Night Hall. But location is key. It has to be less than 3 turns off of a highway.
Okay.
That's my only rule.
that's a very interesting rule. Okay. Absolutely. Now, Gem City Comic Con is coming up. What guests are you excited to have this year?
We were able to put together a great guest list of new hot creators and writers and people that have been, you know, mainstays in the industry for years. I'm excited to meet P. Craig Russell, who has worked on some of the most influential books as a draftsman, as a great graphic artist, a graphic artist.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to meet him. I'm interested in seeing Mike Grell again, who, if you don't know Mike Grell's art, you would recognize it from things like Arrow, because he pretty much set the look for Oliver McQueen, or is that his name?
From Arrow, I think it's Oliver McQueen. I think that's the name you're thinking of.
Look for how he's supposed to look, and you would recognize his art there.
Okay.
Those are just two of them. And my good friend Barry Kitson is coming back from England to come to the show. So it's always good to see Barry.
Yes.
And then writer-wise, we're real lucky in this part of the country, too, that we have lots of fantastic writers within, you know, a tennis ball throw of Dayton.
Yeah, I agree.
Somebody that I'm real interested to see again this year is my good friend Chad Lambert.
Yeah, I've heard of him, yes.
And he's an industry darling. He's written all kinds of books of all kinds of genre and has been award-winning. He's like the critic's pick for up-and-coming writers. He's won a Harvey. I'm forgetting a couple of them because I'm on the spot, of course. But Harvey Awards and recently a Ringo Awards, which are, you know, the Oscars of comic writing. And, of course, we have Kyle Hotz. As an artist from here in Dayton.
Kyle Hotz, yes, he's cool.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Daryl Banks from Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Nate Lovett from Columbus. Dave Akins, who, you know, I'm just saying these names out because I don't want to forget anybody.
It's a big list.
Yeah. We've got a almost 150 tables of artists.
From
the Midwest.
That's amazing, and I'm definitely familiar with Nate Lovitz. About 3 years ago, he made me a drawing of Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles, and it's really cool that he made that for me. So I did remember him. But yes, there's a lot of guests. So I guess for anyone who wants to know the whole guest list, yeah, go to GemCityComicCon.com. So definitely go to that website because it's a really big list. So, but you're all wonderful. If Jesse didn't name you on the show, don't worry, you're still wonderful. So now with that, there's also at Gem City Comic Con on Saturday and Sunday, there's like conference rooms where there'll be panels and cosplay throughout the day. So I was always curious, how do these schedules get filled up with panels and cosplays? Do you decide, hey, we should have this, or do people come to you and say, hey, I want a cosplay contest, so I want to host this panel? How does that work?
Well, honestly, the panels part of it is, and the cosplay for that matter, is something that's just beyond me. You know, if I had to handle that stuff, it would be the straw that broke the camel's back. So I'm lucky enough that there's a dedicated group of people around the show that like to put on panels, that like to host the cosplay contest and stuff for the adults and the children.
Okay.
And in that regard, Roma Collectibles, they are the sponsor of the costume contest.
Yeah.
And Mary Mercenary is the host of it. And the judges and stuff like that. She puts all that together. Roma Collectibles puts all that together. And I'm extremely grateful that they're able to take that off my plate.
Yes.
And the same thing with the panels. You know, over the years, lots of different people have run panels. It's one of those things where you have an idea, and you can just essentially send me an email and say, like, hey, I have an idea for a panel. And I'll say, yes, do it. Because it is honestly the hardest part for me to think about, and I don't want to give people homework assignments or anything like that. So my friend Paul,
yeah,
he puts together the writers panel. You know, he gives me a list of people that he think would be interested or interesting to do sort of like an inside the writer's studio kind of thing.
Excellent.
This year he's doing Steve Englehart, who wrote tons of books throughout the 70s and 80s and 90s. He'll be there as a guest, and they'll be talking about process, different writers, how to collaborate with a different artist that he's worked with over the years. But Paul is somebody that puts together, you know, panels. Of course, from campus, Craig Zitt.
Yes.
He's more of an academic. He works more academically thinking about comics. He's put together a number of panels that will be interesting for people to explore. It kind of opens up different ways of thinking about comics and, you know, pushing the bounds of what comics could be by reexamining some of these, you know, familiar tropes and characters that we've become accustomed to. For instance, the one this year he's doing Iron Man.
Yes.
But viewing him as through the lens of maybe a veteran with some PTSD, you know, or PTSD.
Yes.
I wish I had more time. I wish I could go to these things, but I'm interested to see what he puts together for that or what people think of it.
Yes, that,
it's one of the things where he lets you think about, you know, you're not just reading mindless rock'em sock'em stories. There is depth in them. There is,
yes,
it's not, there is something just below the surface, and you can look at them through different lenses.
In a good story, I would agree. Yes, a very good story, you would see that some depth in the characters. I learned a lot about how these panels get set up, because I would imagine you have enough on your plate. If these people didn't step up and make these panels, we wouldn't have panels. So that's a big help that you have that going for you at Gem City.
We would still have panels. They would just be awful.
Awful. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably right. But there's one new thing that's coming to Gem City this year, and that's something called Gem City Dating. It's coming to the convention for the first time ever. So I want to know, for people that are single that are going to this convention, how can they be involved?
Well, Gem City Dating and it's not affiliated with the show.
They're, yeah,
using this as a launching point. I wish I had this kind of idea. It's brilliant. But Gem City Dating is a company here in Dayton that essentially does, you know, the five-minute date scenario where you sit down with somebody, you have a set of questions or you know, you have a conversation with somebody, and then you rotate through. You get a chance to talk to a bunch of people all at once. And
yeah,
when you're doing it at the convention, you can, you know, reasonably assume that these people, you already have something in common, whether it's, you know, toys or comics or reading or gaming or something like that. You have some kind of, you know, some things in common. And then what the Gem City, Abby at Gem City Dating does is she puts together these meet and greets and stuff, and you fill out a questionnaire, and as you're meeting these people, you mark whether you're interested in knowing them anymore.
Yes.
And then she puts them together and, you know, does all the data sorting, stuff like that, and then sends you an email. This person was interested in you, and you were interested in them. Would you like us to exchange your emails? Or, would you know, something like that, back and forth like that.
All right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we live in a modern age, and sometimes we like to, it's good to get out from behind a computer and actually go meet somebody and talk to somebody. And you may not necessarily meet, you know, your match or something like that, but you might meet somebody interesting. You might become friends.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, it's better to be in the flesh and just be behind a computer screen all the time. I would agree with that. And I hope this goes very well. This is a very, I might check that out, maybe, because I am single, so I would be eligible. So we'll see what happens with that. So that's Gem City Dating at Gem City Comic Con this year. And I believe they do have a website, which I'll go ahead and announce it. It's gemcitydating.com.
Right.
So go for anyone that's listening, you can check that out, and you can learn what they're all about. Now, I got a few more questions for you, Jesse. One of the big things that you guys have at Gem City for quite some time now is the Hero Initiative Charity Auction. It's going to take place Saturday afternoon. Now, just for those that aren't familiar, which I am familiar, but people at home want to know, who does this help, and why does it matter that we do that? Why is the Hero Initiative important at Gem City Comic Con?
Well, what the Hero Initiative is it is a nonprofit charity group that that finds creators, comic book creators, that are in need. Unfortunately, through most of the history of comics, is these creators, these writers and artists are, you know, work for hire.
Yes.
You know, you're paid a page rate. You know, you're not always employed. There's not always health benefits. There's rarely, you know, the kind of retirement plan that you would associate with you know, a steady work job and stuff. It's a lot of work for hire. So as a result, as these creators have gotten older, they've they don't have that safety net when they need help. And that's where Hero Initiative steps in when there's someone, you know, of exceptional, that needs some, in an exceptional circumstance where they need some assistance. Hero Initiative is a charity that can help them out. And they do so for creators. And their tagline is something to the effect of giving back to people that gave so much to us. When we're enjoying these stories, you know, for years to come, they didn't get paid for all their residuals. I mean, that's just not the nature of the work. So when you give to them, to the Hero Initiative, you're giving something back to these creators.
Yes.
And the way I got involved with them is a friend of mine introduced me to a creator named Josh Metters. And Josh was a fantastic artist.
Yeah.
And he was he was younger than I was. And he had a very rare form of cancer. And he struggled, and eventually he died of cancer. But Hero Initiative helped him out. They gave him money to pay for bills, to get groceries, make sure that his kids, you know, that he was taking care of the mundane stuff while he was going through this incredible, you know, rounds of treatment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just for, you know, the retirement group or anything like that. It's just for creators that need. And we've been hosting this charity auction for them for a number of years, and we've raised, the fans of Dayton have raised, you know, tens of thousands of dollars over the years, and I'm so pleased.
That's awesome.
To be able to participate with them. Yeah, and I don't take any credit for the work that they do. I'm just one little cog in their wheel.
Yes.
But they do a lot of great work, and of course the fans, the people that attend the auction, are the real heroes there.
Yes, and I've been to an auction in the past. I got some money to spend, so I do look good at an auction. If I see something I like, I will buy it, and I know that money will go to a good cause. So that's really good to hear. I am impressed that it's done. Like, since you guys have been doing this, it's raised so much money to help the artist, the comic book creator that really needs help in their life. And that's really cool.
Yeah, they're a great charity. Online, too. They always sell stuff online, too, and it all goes to to their charity. And they're, of course, heroinitiative.org, I believe.
Yes, .org, yes. Well, Jesse, I got one more question, but this is your chance to plug Gem City Comic Con this year. So what can people expect when they come to Gem City Comic Con weekend?
Well, they can expect lots of people watching, lots of crowds, lots of comics, lots of fun costuming and all that stuff. And a new wrinkle that we're doing this year is we're having a developer's lab for tabletop gaming. Yeah. So you can, we've got a couple tables set up where you can demo new games, people that are creating games around here. There's a big tournament going on.
I didn't know about this.
It's a new wrinkle. So far it's been well received. But there's a few people there that have developed a game, Adam Week from my state.
Yes.
He'll be there with Galatoon. Ben Crenshaw with his game there is going to be there. We'll have
I'm a good friend of Adam's. So yeah, he's definitely been there the last few years with Galatoon. That's really cool. I'll have to check that out, the games developer, the tables. That's really cool. And, of course, there's going to be an after party. Talk about the after party of Gem City.
The after party is Saturday at Warp Wing Brewery, which is pretty close down there. It's on, I think it's 10 Deloitte Street, within walking distance of the convention center. And at 7 o'clock, what happens is some of the artists, after they've eaten their dinner, they'll come over to the brewery and grab a pint, and they'll sit down and they'll draw.
Excellent.
There'll be some jam pieces, or they'll just kind of sit down and sort of like you get to watch them in their natural environment. It's a little bit like a fishbowl. But we take those drawings that they do, the art that they do, and we have a silent auction.
Yes.
And the art the money that's raised from that goes to a scholarship fund at the Rosewood Art Studio or Art Center in Kettering.
Yes.
And they do all kinds of great programming, not just the comic book day that they host, but different art classes year-round.
Yes, and I've been there. I can vouch there. They're a wonderful program out in Kettering, Ohio. Yeah, I can vouch for them. Cool.
But we're pleased that they're coming along on this with us again.
Jesse, I was thrilled to have you on. It's been a great conversation. And I'll see you in 2 weeks, sir. So you have a good night.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Sorry I couldn't make it into the studio tonight.
No, I understand. Things happen. But you have a good night, Jesse. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Yes, that was Jesse Noble. What a great interview that was. Of course, he was at his home here. That's here close to town because he couldn't be in the studio. But it was still a great interview. I am Daniel Diesel, and I am no one's cherry bomb. Dayton, Ohio, Jesse Noble, Gem City Comic Con, Wright State University, that's the way it is.